pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we'll call the meeting to order. Trustee Harris?
Here.
Trustee Genrick?
Here.
Trustee Raptor?
Here.
Trustee Van Den Oven is here. Trustee Dart?
Here.
Trustee Gass?
Here.
And Trustee Dennis?
Here.
There's one suggested modification to the agenda that we move 6 to 4B. Is that correct, sir? Why don't we propose to move 6 after announcements to 3B? Are there any other suggested modifications to the agenda this evening? Is there anyone visiting who'd like to see an agenda item moved up or down on the agenda? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the agenda as modified? Trustee Gass, is there a second? Trustee Harris, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries. Are there any announcements? Officer Lotnow?
Tonight up on the desk, I just wanted to show you what I wrote up from our discussion about the neighborhood association. This might be just an example where we could obviously make changes of something we could use for a mailing. We want to go that route, whether we go village-wide with this, trying to promote the neighborhood associations. In talking to Pat from the water department, if we would do a postcard type mailing, apparently when they send their bills out, it's about $1,500 for the whole village. So I assume that's pretty much for each residence in the village. Otherwise, another idea that came up just now would be to start with one area at a time. If we can identify a neighborhood or an area that we want to maybe start with, and maybe start that way and see what kind of interest we can firm up.
Okay, so if you could just get, if you have any suggested edits to this, if you just get those to Rick, and then maybe at the next meeting we could decide exactly how the money should be spent, and or what outlet, media outlet we're going to use, or what format we're going to use, and go that route. Trustee Genrick.
Just a comment. I had the pleasure of driving down Libel Street fairly recently and noticed that the new steeple is in place at Ascension Lutheran. It's probably been there a little while, but I know we discussed that at a fairly recent board meeting, and it looks very nice. I think it really complements the architecture there, so just wanted to make a comment on that.
Thank you. Trustee Harris, did you have something? Yeah. Any other announcements? Okay, we'll move on to old item 6, action regarding the 2013 management letter and annual financial report.
Okay, thank you. My name is, can I turn this, or do I have to look at the screen? My name is Mike Konechny, and I'm with Schenck, a CPA firm, and we're located in Illinois. I think most of you know that. And I also brought Janine Romanhorst with me for a little backup here in case we need a little more details on the audit. And I know you have some new members on the board, and what I normally have done is go through, you should have received copies of the management communications, and I don't know if you got the full financial statements also. What I'd like to do is, this may take as much time as you want with questions and things, but what I usually like to do is go through the management communication document in some detail, because our policy, we have a lot of different information in here, different village financial operations, comparing it to the prior year, and I just give you an overview and a highlight of the changes in the financial condition and kind of our opinion on where you're standing. And then I'd like to open it up to questions as I go through it, you know, because we're going to be talking about rather than saving to the end. So if you just want to, you know, raise your hand or something, and I can answer the question right at the time. And then I'll take any questions at the end. I usually didn't go through the entire financial statements. It would take a while. So, okay? So the management communication document, just includes a couple different parts. There are three different parts. There's like a three-page introduction letter. It really lists required communication things that as an independent auditor are required to report to the village board. And it's pretty similar to prior years, but I know some of you are new. Starting on page one there, we talk about internal control, or we talk about what auditing standards we use first. You know, that's pretty much boilerplate stuff. But we talk about that we do issue a report on internal control. And in that report on internal control, we're required to state, are there any material weaknesses? And the other technical term that's used is, are there any significant deficiencies? And you can read through that. That entire report is in the bound book, but we did not identify any deficiencies either significant or material weaknesses. And then on page two there, we talk about estimates. There's estimates made in financial statements, not all that many in government ones. But we listed the three areas that we use, and we do make estimates, and they're all routine kind of things where we estimate the life of a truck or a capital asset. Accumulated sick leave is an estimate because employees may use it and not, at various times, so that's an estimate on that long-term liability. And then the old one for ambulance receivables, which is dying off or going away, but there's still some on the books from the old account. So those are nothing significant there at all. There were no significant difficulties in doing the audit. There was nothing left uncorrected. And this is kind of unusual. I've never had this happen in all my years of auditing. If we propose an adjustment to the financial statements, generally, or always, the client accepts it and doesn't say, well, no, I don't want to do that. That just doesn't happen in governments.
Excuse me, Mike.
Yes.
On the assigning a depreciable life, is that done on a municipality-by-municipality basis, or are there guidelines for municipalities followed? How is depreciable life calculated?
For your water utility and generally your sewer utility, it's one accepted useful life that's used around the state. The water utility, it's mandated. Sewer utility, it's optional, but generally the same. For your trucks and buildings and other machinery and equipment, it's kind of on a case-by-case basis. You know, I think you started using the county highway, DOT has a prescribed list for trucks and all that. But I think they found originally your trucks last longer than county highway trucks. You know, they aren't getting the long mileage, high mileage, and the pounding. So I think that's been modified over the years. So it's kind of on a case-by-case for that. So, yeah, there's no set parameters that are out there for trucks for municipalities. And just moving through this on page three, there were no disagreements with management. And then as part of our audit, we get what's called a management representation letter, and that's in the back of this document, where we ask the village staff to sign a letter that they've made available all records to us, that you have title to assets, that there have been no irregular or fraudulent transactions during the year. So it's pretty typical. So, okay, getting that out of the way, if you want to go to page four, that's where we show the summary financial information. Like I mentioned, and this is comparative summary of your governmental fund balances. Now, for those of you who are new, governmental funds, it's basically your non-utility funds. Utility are called business type because they're charging customers. So these are your funds that are controlled by tax levy or long-term debt, usually. In a general fund, your largest fund, you can see $3.2 million at the end of 13 compared to about almost $3 million at the end of 12. So you had about a $230,000 increase in fund balance. And there's three components of your general fund, but the most important and largest one there is your unassigned fund balance. And that's kind of the, if you want to call it the working capital, the free and clear unappropriated surplus. There are a lot of different terms for it. And you can see that's increased, you know, over about $300,000 from the prior year. And that's the, you know, people ask how big should that be? How does that compare? Well, right now, you have a policy that says that number, you want that number to be a minimum of 30% of your budget. And right now, it's probably, it's over that number. It's probably in more like the high 30s, something like that. You know, it exceeds that right now, which it can temporarily, you know, at times. So yeah, what that means is you had a good budget year and your revenues were more than budget and your expenditures were under budget. So from there, that would be a plus from the bond rating company. And I actually was on your phone call with Moody's, you know, that's with the administrator, with your bond rating, and they were very, very pleased with the finances and where you're at as a village. The other one, special revenue funds, the largest one is your bus service. That's kind of maintained at that level. There you contract with the Green Bay Transit provide bus service. Debt service fund, that has $194,000 in. And that's based on the timing of debt and the money raised for debt. That's required to stay in there generally and be used for future debt. Your capital projects fund, $289,000 at the end of 13. And I know you borrowed in 14 to replenish that.
I was just going to ask, why is there the big difference between 13 and 12?
On which fund?
On the capital equipment.
Because normally you borrow, you've had in the past borrowed every 2 to 3, 4 years, you know, and at times you're going to have money in there for projects and it gets spent down and then, you know, we can borrow again, unfortunately. So. Okay, so from this point of view, we always, you know, you've been in good shape the last quite a number of years from a fund balance point of view. And you've kept your tax rate, you know, fairly stable, as everybody knows, too. Then on page 5, the next three pages, we talk about some of the business-type funds or enterprise funds. And they're called that, you know, because they're like a business where you're charging customers. And on page 5 is a sanitary sewer utility fund. Revenue is $2.4 million. Compared to $2,250,000, and you have periodically raised sewer rates, as you well know too. You're almost raising them every year, like most Brown County communities, primarily because the increase in the charges from the Green Bay, what do they call it now? New water, I guess we got the old term in here. Green Bay MSB, but you can see under operating expenses, Green Bay MSB $1,485,000. Compared to $1,228,000. So basically eating up all your increase in revenues per se. And you know, increases in those charges they've said or they've told all the communities they can expect that for another 3 or 4 years. Because they're doing some plant upgrades and some they need to do some things to reduce some of the outflow treatment of water. So, but anyway, the good news is operating income fairly close to the prior year, $458,000 compared to $507,000. And you have some interest expense, paying back debt. And this fund over the years, for some of you who are new, you haven't been able to build up a lot of cash in this fund because there's, and you're like a lot of communities with older streets, and when you replace streets, you need to replace, generally you replace water and sewer mains also. And that kind of eats up the cash here. Now, those aren't expenses here, because those are capital expenditures. They're depreciated over 50 or 60 years or something. But anyway, it's cash out the door, so you haven't been able to. But you're doing pretty well. You know, you're doing part with rates here and part with borrowing, in our opinion. So you're keeping up. Page 6 is the same kind of analysis or comparison on water utility. And they had a fairly good year also. Revenues were down a little bit. $3.3 million compared to $3.5 million a year earlier. Expenses, small increase in expenses, $2.7 million. So your operating income, $616,000 compared to $798,000. Still a fairly good income. They have interest expense. if you notice, your interest expense did drop in 13. That's kind of through some of the refundings you've done. You've lowered your interest rates. And you drop down here. There's a transfer to the general fund. $254,000. That's the water utility pays a tax. It's called a tax equivalent to the general fund, which you put on as a revenue, similar to a business. And then at the bottom of the page, we talk about the rate of return on the water utility is 4.2%. That's the way the Public Service Commission evaluates it. You're authorized at 6.25. I mean, you're less than your authorization. But you're not in too bad shape. You know, that isn't, that far away. So,
question? What was, I know it's 2012, but what was the change in accounting principle?
Change in accounting principle, yes. It was, They used to, when a utility would borrow money, you know, there's costs with borrowing, there's legal costs, there's a underwriter's discount, there's all kinds of commissions to sell your bonds. That used to be put on the balance sheet and amortized over the life of the debt. And the new standard said, that confuses people, I think, is really what they said. Let's just expense it in a year that it's paid.
Okay.
And that's what that was, picking up all the old stuff that was sitting under his amortization. That's a good question. Okay, moving on. Page 7 is the same kind of analysis on the storm sewer utility. That one, revenues are about the same, 631 compared to 619. You know, I don't believe you raise rates have raised rates in stormwater for a while, and that's a fixed charge, so that's going to be about the same. Operating expenses, they were down significantly, $550 compared to $650. And that can be, you know, you just did less projects relating to stormwater in 13 than you did in 12.
Craig, is that like DuPont?
I would have to look back at that and see why. I don't recall where our operating expenses went down.
Clara, do you have any?
It does include street sweeping and other things as well. So
yeah,
it's probably on the operations side.
Yeah, on the more major type maintenance probably was less. Street sweeping and some of that is pretty consistent, I would think.
Yeah, it is. One thing that I do recall that's less is we didn't have as much storm sewer repairs in 2013. I think that's $30,000 or $40,000 of that difference.
I'd have to look for specifically that one.
And this fund, interest expense, again, is down with due refinancing, but that is a fair, you know, you're paying $107,000 in interest expense on a $600,000 revenues. So there is a fair amount of debt in this fund because of all the major pond work and major capital work you've had to do in the last 10 years or so. So we're just pointing out the bottom. Obviously, it's important to generate an operating income when you got a lot of debt. That's the way you get your funds through to pay principal back on debt through operating income. And that's all I have. The last part is that the appendix is that letter that we talked about signed by the village officials. Well, that's all I was planning on going over with this. I don't know if there's any pending here you'd like to look at. Like I say, if I could summarize Alloway, I would say you look very good from a general fund and a cash flow standpoint. Your utilities still have challenges because of the, you have a lot of streets that are 70, 80, years, maybe more than that, and with pipes in them that the water and sewer utility have to pay. You can't assess a water main twice. You only assess it when you put it in, and then theoretically you should be building up money as you go along to replace that, but that's hard to say. You know, a lot of places you don't have enough, inflation and everything else, but you're holding your own. Your program seems to be working. You're getting a little more debt, but you're able to pay it back through rates, and you're able to actually replace some of it with your operating income.
So. Well, before we vote on this, we owe some thanks to you and your colleagues, but also to Clara and Craig for making sure that we're still running efficiently, and we're not in the red, and everything's in order. I'm glad you signed that appendix. Any questions or anything further before we take a vote? Is there a motion with regard to this item? Trustee Gatt?
I move to adopt and accept the 2013 management letter and annual financial report.
Is there a second? Trustee Dart?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Okay, we will move on to public appearances. If you are here to talk with regard to the residency, the offender residency ordinance, if you just want to hold off, and then we'll suspend the rules and take comments at under number 5. Is there anyone who'd like to speak? You may speak on any issue you like. We only can take action on items listed under a business section of the agenda. Yes, sir.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'd just like to support the neighborhood program and possibly have the first ward on the north side of town designated as the first location to become a neighborhood association. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Hearing none, we'll move on to item 5. action regarding sexual offender residency ordinance. Before we entertain a motion, is there anyone who'd like to speak from our visitors with regard to the issue? As we proceed, if you feel like you'd want to speak with regard to the issue, I'm perfectly willing to open it up at that time. Is there a motion with regard to this item? Yes, Trustee Rafter.
I have a compound motion. I'd like to move that, that one, draft a sex offender residency ordinance specific to LOA with the same restrictions as Green Bay Ordinance 27.622, entitled Sexual Offender Residency Restrictions, for review and approval of the August 5th Village Board meeting.
Trustee Rafter, I'm sorry to interrupt. Have you written these out?
I did. And I was looking for them. I've got them somewhere.
Right in the place where everyone is.
There you go. No, that's it.
Okay, so you've gotten through the first one?
That was number one.
Okay.
Number two, implement a notification policy when a sex offender moves into LOA, which involves notification in the format presented by DEO LAPNO by U.S. mail to residents in a 700-feet radius of the offender's residence and to all schools and child care facilities. Number three, send a letter to all LOA households informing them of the State of Wisconsin website to stay updated on sex offenders who move into LOA. Include in that mailing appropriate educational material on how to protect children from predators. And number four, draft a petition directing our state representatives to lead the effort to address this problem at a state level, and send letters to the leaders of our neighboring communities asking their respective village boards and or councils to sign the petition.
Is there a second? I will second for the sake of discussion. There have been, I'm sorry, Trustee Rafter, do you want to start out? You have the floor if you want to start the discussion.
If you'd like to understand my reasoning, I'd be happy to share it.
Sure.
We've heard and discussed the pros and cons of residency restrictions of sexual offenders regarding whether or not those restrictions prevent recidivism in crime. The residency restriction portion of this motion is not designed to resolve that issue of recidivism. Rather, this motion is designed to resolve a current problem in LOA, which is a dramatic increase in sex offenders moving into LOA, which has gone from an average of 2.8 people per month in 2012 to 3 this last June. Last year, DePere repealed its sexual offender residency restrictions. A quote from DePere Alderman Scott Crevier's blog states the following as reasons for repealing that ordinance. When one ordinance happens, there's a domino effect, and I agree with that. Earlier, the DePere board felt that if they didn't have an ordinance, they would see a jump in sex offenders moving in. Since 2007, that is not the case in DePere. And lastly, he said offenders consistently stay in their hometown once they're out of jail. Jed Newman, in that same blog from the DOC, agreed with Alderman Crevier when he said that it seems like our ordinance is a solution looking for a problem. Unlike DePere, LOA has a problem looking for a solution. That problem is the steady increase of sex offenders moving into LOA who lived in other areas prior to their conviction. Based on my research, very unscientific research, but research of court records, the vast majority of sex offenders moving into LOA resided elsewhere prior to their conviction. We know of at least two cases in the very recent past where the offenders have been denied residency in Green Bay because of their sex offender residency restrictions and moved into Alloway. In other words, Alloway is realizing the impact of the domino effect of the Green Bay ordinance. I do want to be very clear, I do not blame Green Bay for enacting their residency restrictions. They have a right to protect their community the way they see fit. However, I know these restrictions are, at least in part, responsible for the increase of sexual offenders moving into Alloway, and we have to fix that problem. I've come to the conclusion that there are two solutions to our problem. Option one is for Green Bay to repeal their restrictive ordinance and for all communities in our area to work together to identify the best way to protect our citizens. And option two is for Alloway to enact the same ordinance as Green Bay. I also believe that this discussion needs to take place at a broader level. The domino effect of forcing offenders to move to areas with less restrictive ordinances can be prevented if all communities are working on the same set of rules. At least 50% of the states in the U.S. have laws restricting where sex offenders can live. Illinois, Iowa, and Michigan have such laws. The state of New Hampshire is currently considering establishing a law that prohibits restrictive residency laws. Either way, these states are dealing with a problem as a whole versus forcing local municipalities to fend for themselves. Once again, I want to be very clear, I do not necessarily believe restrictive residency ordinances are the answer, but I do know there is strength in numbers. If, as our state leadership, the Wisconsin legislature addresses this problem at a statewide issue, I think we would be better off. I do believe that timely notification and education are key to protection of our children. That is why I am including the notification and education portions of this motion. Lastly, it seems to be well documented that for multiple reasons, offenders tend to migrate to more affordable areas. One study I read states that the presence of just one registered sex offender within a quarter of a mile was found to have a significant effect on home prices and liquidity. And if others follow, a kind of tipping point develops.
Thank you. Very articulately stated, Trustee Rafferty. I appreciate your insights on this. Before we vote on this, I want some clarification as to what exactly we mean by 1 through 4. Some of them say implement, which to me has a completely different connotation than draft something.
Okay.
Drafting something means that someone's going to draft something and then it's probably going to come back for approval to the board. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And implement is something we've already talked about, the details of what we want to implement in terms of notification, and that's going to happen, right?
Correct.
And then send a letter means that the letter is not only drafted, it's actually sent, right?
Correct.
And then the last one is also to draft a petition, but that draft and then come back for approval. So 1 and 4 will come back to the board for approval. 2 and 3 are going to happen. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. I continue to struggle with this because, like you've noted, the research suggests that residency restrictions really don't protect residents. It just makes us think that they're protecting residents. On the other hand, we have some people who are suffering greatly as a result of this, and mainly because our neighbors to the north enacted the ordinance that they did. I'm still very much in favor of something exploring. You've admitted that residency restrictions really aren't the answer. They're sort of a temporary solution until we can have a larger statewide discussion so that we're all playing under the same rules. I'm still interested in an alternative to number one being what Trustee Gast has proposed in terms of stopping the flow of offenders from Green Bay to Alloway by adopting an ordinance that says if you're rejected from a community that you're automatically rejected from this community. And I know there are some possible legal implications for that, but I would like to explore that as an alternative to number one. So I would like, I, as we wrap up our discussions, I'd like to propose that both happen, that we could draft an ordinance, as you say, in number one, but also come with an alternative proposal. Or maybe, I haven't really thought this through, maybe both. Maybe both could happen. We could have our own residency restriction, and if you get rejected from Green Bay and you, for some reason, find a place in Alloway, that you still can't come here. Yeah. So the residency restriction would apply to people who have not been rejected from other communities. But I'd like to see both of them in front of me. And like I said, one, the other, or perhaps both could be enacted.
And I'm fine with that. And you're right. It's not the residency restriction is not the answer to a recidivism problem, but I do believe it's an answer to our problem at this point in time. And our problem is, we're getting people in our community as a result of that same ordinance in Green Bay. And so by enacting that ordinance, as one of our village residents eloquently said in an email to me, we would have that same Board of Appeals, and we would, as a board, our residency board, appeals board, would have the opportunity to say yes or no. And that we don't have to say no to everyone, but we want to have the right to protect our people.
Trustee Gant.
Well, I share some of the same concerns or issues as the village president. I don't know necessarily that the residency restrictions such as Green Bay's are ultimately an effective tool. I'm willing to take a look at it. I'd like to see what a map would look like. You know, I mean, of course, our map would be different than the city of Green Bay's. So I'm willing to take a look at it and give it consideration. I think the more appropriate vehicle to satisfy the more pressing concern is the type of ordinance that I've suggested before, which is not a residency restriction per se, but a restriction that says if you are rejected by the Green Bay Residency Board or any other municipal residency board, that you're automatically prohibited from moving into the Village of Alloway. I think that solves, you know, the more pressing concern, because it still troubles me very much that somebody that Green Bay said no to, and in fact one of them, they didn't even have a procedure to rescind a prior approval, winds up in Alloway. I think that is the pressing problem. As we've talked about before, I think that each municipality should bear, or has to bear, its own fair share of the burden. As Officer Lopnow indicated before, I mean, this is a problem that's not going away, and it's going to only increase over time. And, you know, as long as each municipality bears its proportionate share of the release of these offenders, then okay, we have to do that. So I think, you know, the ordinance along the lines that I proposed is if you're rejected by anybody else, you just can't come here, because we're not going to take your castaways. I mean, I think that's an appropriate solution. And I know that I've had some dialogue with the village council, and I think village council is going to talk to us in closed session about some of the legal issues that surround that type of an ordinance. So I think that's a more appropriate vehicle to stop the more pressing concern. And I'm still remembering a lot of the discussion that happened when we talked about this quite a few years ago, right after Green Bay adopted the ordinance. And there's some concerns with these residency requirements. If they're that onerous, and really you're telling people that they just can't move into your village, then they go underground and you don't know where they are, and then nobody knows, and information and knowing where they are is a very good thing. So I think I'd like to explore further the if you're cast out of another municipality, you just can't come here type of ordinance. Village Council is going to talk to us about that, I think, at the next meeting or in a closed session upcoming, so that we can have a frank discussion as to the legalities and the, you know, potential ramifications of an ordinance like that. So I would want to explore that option. In terms of point two of Trustee Rafter's motion about the notification policy within 700 feet radius, I would have a problem with it. I think it's a good idea. I think Officer Lopnow did a very nice job in the draft notice that he put together for our consideration. I have no problem at all with that going out to residents when somebody's moving into their neighborhood, so they at least know about it. Hopefully, if the neighborhood association concept takes off, we can maybe stop mailing those things in a few years and get a hold of the neighborhood associations and tell them, and they'll get the word out for us. But until that happens, I have no problem at all with the notification policy. Point three of the motion, sending a letter to all Alloway households informing them of the State of Wisconsin website. I don't think that's necessary. I mean, I think that, clearly I think we can publish that in all around Alloway. You know, I mean,
to me, it's a cost item. You know, I don't think we need to send a village-wide letter to everybody just on sex offenders. I think we definitely should include that website and all about that way. It's a publication that goes out, and I think that's deserving of mention in there. Drafting the petition, point number four, to state representatives, I agree with that. I think that municipalities should join hands and petition the state to do something that's uniform so that everybody plays in the same playing field and the rules are the same for everybody. So I think that's a good idea. I guess that's all I have to say. I reached the bottom.
If you recall, we tried to reach out at the state level when this issue first came up because we didn't want to run into a situation where we were basically changing ordinances back and forth to try to shift the population from municipality to municipality and play that game. And the state, I think I told Trustee Rafter in an email, one time where they really wanted to honor home rule was in this situation. And they didn't really want to touch it. By applaud Trustee Rafter's attempts to take another kick at the cat and see if we can get them to respond to them and have a larger conversation. Trustee Harris.
Yes. My concern with item one on the proposed motion is, again, seeing a map the way Trustee Gast mentioned, and what areas will that cover within the village? Consequently, what would that potentially do to the density of offenders being able to move in? Because whether it's 500 feet, 1,000 feet, 1,500 feet, whatever that is, at some point someone's going to be 501 feet away or 1,001 feet away, and we've got a concern about too many offenders congregating in the same area. So that'd be one of the things I'd like to see from the start. I don't know if the idea talked about briefly at the last meeting in terms of not necessarily following exactly what Green Bay does, but just looking at density as opposed to a specific radius from locations, so that if you're not allowed more than X amount of sexual offenders within a certain radius of each other. I don't know if that's an option as well. Because even in what you mentioned in terms of you said your unscientific research, the quarter mile factor in terms of property values, and we've got to take something like that into account. So those are the concerns that I have. The one item on item number two, may just be the wording in terms of the notification. Would that 700 feet of the offender's residence, and then all schools and child care facilities within Alloway, or just, again, a radius?
I would say in all schools.
Okay. So that
because
any time
child care facilities, they're in different areas and they travel from different areas.
Okay. I just want to make sure we have it clarified. I wasn't positive.
I don't understand your response. Just all schools in the village and then child care centers within
our all
radius?
Schools and child care within the village.
Entire village, yeah.
There aren't that many.
Any further discussion before I'd like to open it up to our visitors?
Okay.
We'll suspend the rules.
Oh. I have one last question, or one question. If we implement, and I also like Trustee Guest's recommendation, my concern is, what would happen? Does that give the DOC the opportunity to put together packages that steer people directly to Alloway rather than Green Bay when they know that they're going to face an uphill battle in Green Bay? That ordinance that you suggest wouldn't prevent the DOC from sending them directly to Alloway and bypassing Green Bay.
The DOC does not place sexual offenders.
Approve a package, right? Or a plan? I'm not suggesting they would try to do that,
right?
But
if I can understand your point. If we did either or, if we did both, it would do no harm.
Yep, I agree.
It only could add value. Let's suspend the rules, ma'am. Please, could you?
So shooting 350 Taft Street, I have the same point that Rafter had about your proposal. It doesn't take a lot of brains for me to figure out, okay, if I go to Green Bay first, I might be rejected, so I'll just start by going to Alway, where they have no restriction, and I'll get a place there. They find their own places, and it doesn't take a lot to figure that out, so that's what I would do if I was looking for a place. So that, I don't think, would last for long. They get the hang of it. That's what anybody would do, probably. As far as the ordinance, I said this from day one, I would like to just deal with the density and restriction of only so far, you know, radius, being close together, any sexual offenders for property values, everything. If you look at Alloway, we have trails on both sides. Is that considered where children and people hang out? Is that a park? I don't know. If you do this whole ordinance of so many feet, like Green Bay, I don't know where somebody would be able to be here if you did something like that. But if you did a restriction, protect the neighborhoods. You don't have a density issue where you have too many sex offenders in an area. And we live in those affordable neighborhoods, and I can see it happening. Coolidge behind us, we had. Link Court, we have. Taft Street, we have. We already, in a little radius, we had three already. And I can see it in certain neighborhoods it's happening. And as far as the notification, I appreciate having that policy. As far as putting it in the All About Alloway, that's a great idea about how to protect our children instead of mealing it out like you have suggested. And your last point, I forgot, oh, the state level. Yes, it has to be addressed at a state level. We know it has to. I think you should try again, like you said, get the support of everybody. And Senator Coles is interested in doing it on a state level. I know that. So this is a way to try again.
Thank you. Please.
Mark Schutte, 350 Taft Street. I was just thinking that as part of your the sex offender restriction ordinance, really what's probably more important or just as important is the review board. They go hand in hand. So whether you have a restricted ordinance and go to the review board, or if you just went directly to a review board, of the offenders, you'd have the control you needed. And anyway, I think that's something you should consider is having that review and that last say. You know, in my opinion, the sex offender, the burden should be on him. And right now the burden is on the neighborhood. And if you had a review board, you could make that offender kind of earn the right to come here, you know, make his case. And it shouldn't be hard if they're not a, you know, serious offender. And if they're more serious, you can take into account if he's got a support group, if he's a registered, going to be residing with his family, you can give him credit for that. You can just kind of look at density. If there's a cluster together, maybe you can be more restrictive. It gives you the kind of more control. And maybe things we haven't even considered or could consider here, you could have the capability to deal with. So to me, having a review board could be kind of the big tool in your, you know, it's going to be an effort on your part, but I would think all the taxpayers in the community would be for it, or virtually all anyway. It's anyway, I just wanted to bring in that point that the review board just really goes hand in hand with the ordinance, if you have a restricted ordinance.
Yeah, I think we're required actually to have a review board.
Are
you suggesting that we can even do a review board without a residency restriction?
What's that?
Are you suggesting that we could even do a review board?
No, I guess I didn't hear you say anything about the review board, but that's sort of kind of...
Yeah.
Then you could catch, like I think my wife had mentioned earlier, that if someone came directly here that would have likely have gone to Green Bay, but they didn't want to take a chance of being rejected, and then, in effect, they're rejected twice. You know, Alloway would then, therefore, de facto reject them as well.
Right.
You know, they'd be more apt to come directly here, but then you guys can make your own determination. You know, for whatever reason, I mean, you know, logical and fairness and all that. But I'm just something I'm throwing out there. That's all.
I appreciate that. I was under the assumption that there would be a review board if there was any sort of residency restriction.
And that is part of the Green Bay ordinance.
Right. But I think where we're going is, and I like that idea of making sure that we have this review board and we can use all the tools. You know, one way to do it is to legislate everything in terms of density, in terms of whether you've been rejected somewhere else, and where you're living, and Another is to have this review board that has some criteria that could use any of those tools that they felt to be appropriate. One thing that we haven't really talked about is the constitutionality of an ordinance, and that's why I agree with Trustee Harris that I'd really like to see a map, and that I don't think it's constitutional if we develop a map where you can't live anywhere in the village. I mean, that's why Green Bay went with this residency restriction where there are only extremely small pockets. Otherwise, it would have been much easier to say if you're a sexual offender, you can't live here in Green Bay at all. So I don't know where that line is in terms of how many available places there have to be before you run into constitutional issues.
And I think with that, you're not protecting a neighborhood. You could actually just push them all into a neighborhood.
Right, there'll be small pockets of high density, but
that's certainly not protecting someone's neighborhood. Would it be possible to have, I mean, I kind of understood that Mr. Schutte was saying something about a review board without the ordinance.
Without residency?
Yeah.
That's not what he was saying, but
that's
what I picked up that I'm not a bad idea.
No, I did say that, or at least I meant I had it in my head. I don't know
what
it came up. I thought that was the most important thing.
Then those other aspects can be looked at, the density and the neighborhoods and other things. I don't know if that's possible.
I wonder if there's a reason, though, that there is a residency, because this is an appeals board. It's not a board that makes the,
right.
makes the judgment. It allows people to appeal and repeal ordinance that's on the book. So I wonder if there's a reason that it was specifically set up that you can't, and you come to this board to see if they'll give you a exemption rather than come to the board to make a judgment right off the bat.
Then I kind of like Trustee Harris's idea, if we can do something like that with density, because it isn't right to stick them all in one little section.
One pocket, right? Mm-hmm. Which is what I think would happen if we had an overly restrictive residency ordinance. Mm-hmm. They'd all end up in the little pockets where they could in Holloway. But I still think it would result probably in a stopping the flow from Green Bay to Alloway if we did have
that's the goal.
Some sort of
that's my goal at least.
And that's a, and it, like I said before, that's a good goal, but it's a short-term goal. We really
yep.
have to think about long-term
yep.
whether we're really protecting our residents, and hopefully we're successful at expanding this conversation to a statewide level. Trustee Gast first, and then Trustee Harris.
I mean, before we draft an ordinance, I mean, I think the first thing to do is to see the map. You know, I mean, let's take a look at the Green Bay parameters, apply it to a map overlay of Alloway, and see what we're talking about. I'm intrigued by Trustee Harris's, you know, density concept. I think that might be better. I'm troubled by review boards and the intricacies and. You know, there's some subjectivity, and it depends who you have on them and what standards you're supposed to follow. I mean, if we can avoid going through that process, I prefer to avoid going through that process. I'm starting to like the density issue because, as a practical matter, you know, it seems to me that there's only certain segments of Alloway that are probably in the affordable range for the vendors to move into. So we could probably limit the number by a density prohibition that you can't have more than one within a certain radius, because let's be quite frank, there's just certain areas of Alloway that they can't afford to move into. So I think we could probably achieve, you know, our result by limiting the density. You know, I think that's a very intriguing concept.
I thought we talked about that with the village attorney, and there are reasons why. I mean, what about if we just restricted the number, so we have our quota. And we aren't going to accept anymore. And density is sort of another way to get at that same end goal.
I'm not sure Dennis had any thoughts on that, because I think that was kind of a newer concept. I mean, just because I don't think anybody's regulating the density. I mean, we have, you know, in like a hotel kind of setting or an apartment complex kind of setting, but to apply it to the village as a whole, I think that's. That can maybe cure all the ills, you know, without having to go through a review board and doing all of this kind of stuff. So I think that might be something that we task, you know, village council with to come back and talk to us in closed session, along with, you know, the ordinance that I propose about the absolute prohibition if they're kicked out of another municipality. Because, I mean, those should be discussed in closed session, because, I mean, I want council's frank, you know, observations, because you know, if there's a problem, you know, with them from a legal standpoint, you know, or issues, I mean, I don't want to give, you know, an offender ammunition in an ultimate, you know, legal battle over an ordinance to say, well, your own village council told you that in open session, so what'd you pass it for? You know, so I think those kind of things should be talked about in closed session. But I think the density concept might, because it seems to me that we have an obligation to protect public safety and health and welfare. And it seems to me that one proper exercise of that responsibility is to, you know, restrict the density to say, look, we can't have five in a block, or five in two blocks, or five within a certain radius, because that is just too much for any particular neighborhood to bear, and increases, you know, the risk that there might be some recidivism because you have a bunch of them living in the same area. So I don't know, it just seems to me that we would have legitimate grounds to be able to do that. And that seems to be a very creative way to maybe deal with this situation, plus the idea I propose that if somebody says, no, you just can't come here. I think that would, you know, that might solve a lot. It's not a perfect, I mean, there is no perfect answer, but I think that those two things working in tandem, you know, might work very effectively in lieu of a residency restriction and an appeal to it.
Trustee Harris?
I think part of the problem we could run into if we just established a review board is, in essence, that is implying the entire village is restricted. That's where we might, without having a certain area restricted as opposed to unrestricted, if you've got a review board, what you're saying is 100% of the residencies are restricted. That's where we might, I just wonder if we'll run into problems that direction.
No, if you call it a review board, it sort of insinuates that you can't live here and then the review board's going to, but if it's just the opposite, there's no answer yet, yes or no. The review board starts from ground zero and establishes the merits of every case. I think legally there's a reason why Green Bay set up the zones and then called it a review board that would repeal and allow you to live in a restricted zone. And I think it has something to do with what we were just talking about. Unless there are objections, we'll suspend the rules again. Yes, ma'am. No, not at all.
One thing we haven't talked about is the severity of the cases, and I don't know if I missed a meeting, but I thought that Officer Botnow was going to come back and talk about the severity of the cases that happened in those 10 and 1 year kind of difference. And is that an issue? Should we be looking at that? Are we getting all number one sexual offenders here? Or, you know, I mean, that could happen.
Yeah.
So you might need to look at that, and then I haven't heard that talked about. And the other thing is notification to the village before they move in. Does an offender need to do that? Do you want to have that be a policy, that they have to notify you that they're moving in, because other times it was 10 days later that you found out, or that's another issue I didn't hear brought up. I think that would be, like, you're applying to come live here, and they should notify you that they want to live in your village, and so you know. There's two more thoughts.
Officer Lopnow, I think there was a meeting, maybe where you weren't here, where you reported on the data, and the data suggested kind of the opposite of what the board expected. The board expected there would not necessarily be an increase in the proportionate number of total offenders in the village relative to other municipalities, but that there might be a disproportionate number of the type of offenders in Alloway, sort of people getting rejected from Green Bay, the worst of the worst, and coming here. And the data seemed to suggest just the opposite, that there wasn't a disproportionate, there wasn't any sort of disproportionality in terms of severity, although, as you said, that sort of was difficult to gauge, and it's based on what they were convicted for, maybe not, you know, they might have pleaded down, so on and so forth, but that the number was increasing. Is that a correct recollection of your report?
I think so. I remember talking about it. I didn't bring my other past reports that I went from the last few meetings that I don't have with me. But I know we had talked about that, and I think our the last meeting or the meeting before that, we went through the last couple of years of offenders that had moved to Alloway, and I put those out with each offense
we did talk about your idea of developing a more restrictive notification policy than even the DOC has, and that went to the village attorney for consideration.
I don't think we've heard anything, have we?
We haven't heard anything back from the attorney. Yeah.
The memory serves, we're, next meeting we're set for a closed session meeting with the village council to explore the legality of various options.
Yes.
Yeah.
Unless there's something else at this time, this isn't your final opportunity, so I just wanted to make sure that there wasn't a thought that you... Okay, we'll take up the rules. Trustee Rafter?
Regarding the notification of when... They notifying us prior to moving in. I was going down that road at the beginning to put the speed inhibitor in the road and slow things down, and I thought it was a good solution. When I started coming up with the proposal to enact the Green Bay Ordinance, that need kind of went away because we would have been notified when they wanted to move in. If we weren't going to go the route of the Green Bay Ordinance and we were going to do a combination of if you can't live in Green Bay, you can't live here, combined with a density, I would go back to saying I would want notification prior to moving into the village, regardless of who you are.
Well, if I remember right, when village council, we kind of peppered him at a meeting or two ago with a bunch of these different options, and he did the best he could to respond off the cuff, and actually, I mean, give us some definitive answers on a few points. I think... A lot of these ideas are very good and worthy of further exploration. I think, you know, we need to get input of village council because I think one option might turn upon a different option. And so what I do is make a substitute motion that we postpone or decision on these issues until after consultation with village council in a closed session.
Is there a second? Trustee Dart, discussion?
Well, it's just I think a lot of these things are, as we're talking about ordinances and we're talking about, you know, due process rights and things of that sort, it just seems to me that before we can lay out a definitive course, that we need to, you know, get the read from our village council as to what's proper, what's improper, what's legal, what's illegal. Because the answers to those questions will dictate what we need to do and how we need to do it. So I think, you know, since there's a closed session the village council is scheduled for the next meeting, we can raise all of these issues. I know he's already exploring some options in terms of my concept about, you know, if Green Bay says no, we say no. I think we can charge him, you know, between now and then to also look at the density, you know, type issue. You know, and between now and the next meeting, I'm sure that it wouldn't be a burden for staff to come up with that map that we can review in closed session to see what it looks like. And would we be pushing offenders into one area? And can we then legally deal with that with a density type ordinance? So I think a lot of those answers that we or the answers to a lot of the questions I think we all have, you know, will turn upon what we learn from village council, and what we learn will then drive how we deal with the issue. So hence the reason for the substitute motion to postpone consideration of these issues until after we have a chance to have a full and frank discussion with village council as to what our legally permissible options are.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you conceptually, but I'd like the motion to reflect exactly what we're going to send to village council, and I'd like all of those to come back here. So, for example, I'm ready to propose what I want to discuss first so we don't have three or four substitute motions on top of one another. That Trustee Rafter draft offender residency ordinance similar to that of Green Bay. That Trustee, and don't worry about the legalese, just get it down conceptually. That Trustee Harris draft a density ordinance for the village. And that Trustee Gast put in writing a draft ordinance for the, if you're rejected by another community, you're rejected here. And and I can draft a policy about early notification to the village. And that tonight we could still pass some of the other four on the list. For example, the draft to the state representatives. I don't want to hold back some of these that we're agreeing on because we can't agree mainly on kind of number one. So I'd like to either propose or I'll entertain a new substitute point, unless there are other thoughts on how to move forward with this. I just don't want the whole slate of things to stop because we have all these other ideas. And I want it to be very focused as to what we're going to send to the attorney for him to respond to in our closed session before next meeting, and then have all of those issues be on the agenda for us to revisit. Yes, we're doing that. No, we're not doing that. And the rationale why. Does that make some sense to you?
Very much so.
Sure. Is there anything else? I'm getting the feeling we're getting ready to entertain another substitute motion, and then it might go quickly after that. Anything else that you want to add right now that you're hoping we do or not do? Yes, sir.
Mark Schutte, 350 tab. Just a comment on Representative Gass' residency, a rejection. I was just thinking if you had a Romeo and Juliet situation and, say, someone lived in Green Bay and their offended party, he just happened to live next to her, he'd be rejected. But, you know, maybe we wouldn't necessarily want to reject him in Alloway. I'm just thinking, you know, just there's a scenario where they might have a little issue with that. But maybe it's fine, too. I don't know. I just want to comment.
Appreciate that. Anything else? I'm going to check in one more time. We'll take up the rules, Trustee Rafter.
I just wanted to say that, you know, very often with these kinds of discussions, you can expect that people will get up in arms and start shouting and waving and getting upset. And some of the folks I've had the pleasure to get to know over this topic have consistently been concerned not only for the area and for the community, but for those actually, for the offenders as well, and for their rights. And Mr. Schutte's comment, Mrs. Schutte's comments here tonight just are reflective of that. They were also concerned that at one point they just wanted to know that their voice was being heard. And I would like to publicly thank each and every person who's come forward on this issue and spent time and sleepless nights thinking about the issue for your activity, because it is, from my opinion, it is your actions that have helped the board understand the importance of this, and hopefully we'll come forward with something that takes care of our community as a whole. But thank you.
Trustee Dart, did you have something?
Yeah, I just, on number two, I just wanted to have a little discussion on how we came up with 700 feet. Is that really what we want in there?
Were you not here?
Maybe I just forgot.
No, it might be. We had this discussion meeting or two
last
ago.
Meeting.
Last meeting.
Yeah.
And that's what
about,
we decided.
And we decided 700 feet seemed reasonable.
I'll make a substitute motion.
Okay. Trustee Gass?
I'll make a new substitute motion that Trustee Rafter be charged with drafting a conceptual residency restriction ordinance for review at the next meeting. That Village Council be charged with reviewing that and rendering advice to the Village Board in closed session as to the propriety of adopting it. That Trustee Harris draft conceptually a density restriction ordinance that Village Council be prepared at the next meeting in closed session to discuss the legal propriety of a density type restriction. That I undertake drafting a conceptual ordinance for precluding transfers of offenders into Alloway who have been rejected by other municipalities, and that Village Council be charged with looking at the propriety and legality of adopting that type of ordinance in closed session at the next meeting. That the board immediately adopt a policy as provided in Trustee Rafter's point number two on his motion concerning the notification policy to residents within 700 feet radius in all schools and child care facilities, that be adopted by staff immediately.
that point three of Trustee Rafter's motion concerning information to all Alloway households not be by letter form, but be included within all around Alloway with appropriate educational instruction to those residents where offenders live, as would be similar to that contained in Trustee or in Officer Lopnow's draft notification form, that we charge Village Council with drafting a petition to circulate to state representatives to request uniform action be taken on this entire issue, and that the village president and board be authorized to communicate that petition with neighboring municipalities so that a joint petition could be supplied to state representatives.
Early notification.
And that the village president draft a conceptual model or language for village wide.
Early notification.
Early notification before moving in.
Right.
And that village council be prepared to address that in closed session, as well as the legality of requiring offenders to basically pre-register with the village offices prior to moving into the village.
Trustee Dart?
Second that.
Yeah, don't ask me to say that.
It's on recording.
Now, council's going to want a little bit of time. He's been thinking about many of these issues, but I don't know if he's been thinking a lot about density or not. So do we want to, at least, it does not be part of the motion, but do we want to have a date certain by which these drafts will be sent to council so that he can come prepared? We don't meet for another 3 weeks, which is one of the reasons I wanted us to be really focused. According to my calendar, we've got two more Tuesdays in July, and then...
I would say that the conceptual drafts that we're all charged with be done within 10 days and submitted to Village Council.
Okay, by Friday the 25th. Discussion? Anything discussion amongst the board? Then I'm going to ask if there's anything else amongst our visitors. Anything that anyone wants to add to what we've discussed? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Number 7, action regarding the noise variance permit for Hops on the Hill at Heritage Hill State Historical Park on the 24th of this month. Is there a motion with regard to this item?
Also moved.
Trustee Genrich, excuse me, is there a second? Trustee Dart, our two biggest beer drinkers, apparently.
Oh, strike that.
You just like hops, not the beer.
That's right.
Discussion. This event has happened before in the past, and it's a great, great event. I encourage everyone to attend. Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Action regarding budget carryovers. Is there a motion with regard to this item? Do you want to hear from Clara before we proceed?
Yes.
Yes.
We'll suspend the rules. Clara? Okay, that's not the rules.
Okay, this is the formal request to carry over funds from the 2013 budget to the 2014 budget. These are the items that we discussed during the budget meeting last fall, but we could not formally carry over until the year was over and all funds were closed out and approved and the audit approved. So I guess just to go over these real quick, these are the items that we discussed in the budget, and the police, the purchase for the squad car and the related equipment for it. For parts, there was a budget amount that we want to carry over for Emerald Ashford. And accumulating funds for an eventual replacement of the HVAC system here at Village Hall. And then last would be the donations collected. That we didn't know the final number until obviously the year was over. that are for the trail improvements for the East River Trail. Any questions on this?
Any further questions? Or?
This is just part of the normal process.
Mm-hmm. Okay, anything? Is there a motion regarding this item? Trustee Harris?
I move we approve as presented.
Is there a second? Trustee Rath?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Number 9, action regarding the vendor permit for worship music concert at Greenhall Park from 5 to 9 p.m. on July 21st. Is there a motion with regard to this item? Trustee Guest?
I'll move to approve the request.
Is there a second? Trustee Rafter?
I'll second.
Discussion? It's not Peter Franklin.
We're getting there. You want to put that motion on for the next one? I'll move to approve it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries as well. Item 10, action regarding the request from Resurrection Catholic Parish for a temporary Class B retailer's license and noise ordinance permit for a rock beer and bingo event on July 31st. Is there a motion with regard to this item? Trustee Dart?
I'm moved to approve.
That's the competition for you.
I know.
I'll second. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Will there be beer?
Motion carries. Item 11, action regarding agreement with the new administrator. Unless there are objections from the board, I'd like to discuss a little bit of process before I entertain a motion. Okay. For those of you who haven't been involved in the process, when the old village administrator, I shouldn't say old, the ex-village administrator, left, we immediately discussed amongst the board how we were going to fill the position, what kind of new village administrator we wanted, and talked a little bit about the responsibilities of the new village administrator. We decided to solicit help from a consultant instead of trying to manage it ourselves, and we ended up hiring two consultants, one to do more of the administrative front-end process part of it, for example, to help with marketing, to accept the paper and pencil applications from, well, they were electronic, but applications from the applicants to work with us to make sure that the position description was clearly stated. And we hired someone, and Steve Hintz, who has, between him and his partners, well over 50 years of experience in doing just this. And then we also hired a consultant to help with the sort of back end, the final portion of it. And we hired Ben Foskey from Rise Leadership. Ben, as some of you may know, has worked with us on some team building and organizational culture issues during the past year, and we thought it important that he provide some insight to us as to how the new village administrator would fit into the current culture and into where we want to go as an organization. So the board had approved $12,000 for the search, not for any payment of any members on the search and screen committee or any members of the board, but for hiring consultants, for bringing applicants into the village, travel costs, those sorts of things. This would be separate from any moving expenses that a new village administrator would incur. The next step was to establish a search and screen committee, and I'm not sure that the exact days on these, a couple of them might be a little bit out of order. We established a search and screen committee, and the search and screen committee is a committee separate from the village but included separate from the board but included two board members. The committee consisted of two board members of four staff members, department heads, was it, Debbie?
Three department heads and two staff members.
So five village employees and two members of the community were residents. One has some experience in employee assistance programs and works with the village, and that was Lee Boucher, and then the other is an HR professional. That was Jerry Oldman. So we convened this group to do just what the title of the group insinuates, to search, to help in search for as many candidates, qualified candidates as possible, and then to do the upfront screening of those candidates so that the board could decide on a smaller list of very qualified candidates. And they did just that. They solicited with the first consultant applications numbering 29 in the original resume and cover letter process. The committee then needed to decide on a format. So the consultant had a particular process that he'd used over the years where after the cover letter and resumes, there would be winnowing, and to semi-finalists, the semi-finalists would then submit videotaped responses to a list of questions. And the search and screen committee didn't really like that approach, thought it put an undue burden on the person to produce a DVD. It gave them some advantages of being able to rehearse and re-record. And so we did Skype interviews for the semifinalist stage. There were 13 semifinalists. The way that we got from the 29 to the 13, we talked a bit about whether there should be a rating scale or some highly complex system for winnowing from the 29 to the 13. The way it worked was the consultant actually threw out some number of the 29 simply because they didn't meet the minimum qualifications of having educational and or experiential qualifications. And so the way we got from that group of, I think it might have been 24 or 23 who were actually met the minimum qualifications down to the 13, was comparing the applications to the elements of the job description. We established a timeline and then a process for the finalist stage. We didn't really know how many finalists we were going to have, but decided that during the finalist stage they would be invited to the village on a Friday. On a Friday afternoon they would meet with one-on-one with the department heads, who'd show them around certain sections of the village. It got a little tricky because we didn't have a lot of room in some of these offices, so for the finance director, really didn't have much of a tour, but she managed. And then in the evening there was a social where they could meet people from the village, put themselves at ease, a little bit at ease, and where we could also get solicit feedback from residents and from staff members who weren't involved in the search and screen committee. At the social, response form was circulated, a simple response form that wanted open-ended responses with regard to strengths and weaknesses of each candidate. Again, this was not meant to be a rating scale from the community or from the staff. That was going to be left up to the search and screen committee and the village, finally to the village board. What we wanted was some open-ended opinions as to what they saw, especially relative to the position description that had been posted on the website. And then the next day was, on Saturday, was to be a rotation between the board, the search and screen committee, the village board, a tour, and having the candidates do a writing sample. And so we did that rotation. The search and screen committee reviewed the resumes and the cover letters from the very first stage, and again winnowed down to 13. Some actually use, I personally used a rating scale that I developed myself, but I like things to be sort of kind of in order and to assign numbers to things. Again, we had a discussion amongst the committee, and the consultant also suggested that at that stage it was unnecessary for that level of detail. The consultant did reference checks on all 13 of the semifinalists. The search and screen committee conducted Skype interviews. We then met with the consultant to winnow down the 13 to 5 finalists using a rating scale based on, again, the elements of the job description. And the search and screen committee was asked to rate each of the candidates on those elements. The five finalists were determined. The consultant called them to see if they were still interested. If they were, they were asked to fill out a behavioral measure regarding workplace motivators and interactional style that was recommended by our second consultant, the one who knows the culture of the village quite well. That standardized measure resulted in a 71-page report for each candidate. And thank goodness, a summary from the consultant and a two-page executive summary with graphs on it that gave us a good start as to how to interpret it. Four of the five finalists who were invited to come to the village actually came. One dropped out. And then we followed the process that I outlined before for the interviewing of the finalists. After the Saturday that the candidates visited the village, the board met and, the search and screen committee met and started to compile all of the information that was available. The feedback from residents, unsolicited feedback from residents or from people from other communities. Behavioral measures that had been taken by the and workplace motivation measures that had been taken by the candidates, the reference checks and the summary of that, and then still outstanding were summary from the second consultant as to his perceptions of the fit between each candidate and the village culture. So they started to collect all of that information. They had all that information collected by the time the board met in closed session, I think about a few days. Was it a few days or a week later? I can't remember how long after. It was a few days. It was Tuesday. The village board began to deliberate. I think we had a couple of sessions between then and now, cultivating in tonight's closed session discussion about who an offer should be extended to for the village administrator. So that's a discussion of the process, the actual measures that we used, the rating scales that we used, and the questions that were asked to residents or applicants, both by the search and screen committee at the semifinalist Skype stage and at the finalist stage, and by the board at the finalist stage, are available for the public to review if you're interested. So, based on all of that, I would like to make a motion that the board authorize me to enter into extended offer and enter into negotiations with Brad Lang to be the new village administrator. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Trustee Genrich. Okay. Discussion. Gaston, I'd like us to give sort of your rationale as to why it is that you personally, individually came to the conclusion that this was the right choice.
And then I'm assuming as part of your motion that, you know, the offer be extended to Brad, you'll enter upon negotiations with Brad, and then the eventual, you know, terms of a formal agreement will come back to the village board for approval.
For approval at the next meeting, yes.
And then, I mean, just in terms of my thoughts, you know, concerning Brad's, you know, selection to be the village administrator, is, you know, he's been here for, 17 years?
I think he successfully run the park and rec department. I think for as a matter of integrity and honesty, I think he shows good executive leadership. And he's committed and passionate about this village. I mean, in fact, I think a number of residents kind of view him to be Mr. Holloway, to be, you know, a spokesperson on behalf of the village. He's a known quantity. We know what we're getting when we get Brad. I've had the pleasure to know Brad for quite a few years as a trustee, and I just think he'd do an excellent job as the village administrator. I think he understands the culture of the village. He definitely understands the village. So I think those are some of the factors that lead me to believe that Brad was ultimately the correct choice.
And I should add before we go on that the board considered all of the finalists, and there was quite a bit of discussion, and every candidate had strengths and weaknesses, and it was the conclusion of the board that I go through negotiations with Brad, that I let him know what the board thinks his weaknesses are, and I think he might know them already, given his answers to some of our questions in the interviews, and that there'll be expectations that he build on his strengths and work on his weaknesses. And if I know Brad, he's going to be perfectly open to doing that. But there were other candidates who were stronger in certain areas and weaker in certain areas than Brad, and all were given consideration. And I just think we've made the right decision. So I'll let other people chime in. If
I've only gotten to know Brad during my time on the board here, but I certainly got a lot of feedback from local residents and employees and all the rest. We were fortunate to have some great candidates, and I personally was happy I didn't have to go through that interview process, because it was really involved, you know, and then the 71-page rating scales and all the rest, and we've all got strengths and weaknesses, and I'm just very happy that Brad's going to be given the opportunity to lead the village and be the face of the franchise, as we say. So, again, really appreciate the interest in the position. And I think the money was well spent. Someone had questioned me early on, why are you spending the money? We've already got the best candidate here. And I kind of assured her that we were doing that so we would end up with the best candidate. And I think it was money well spent.
There's also an issue about public. I mean, there were some suggestions up front that why don't you just assigned Brad to the position, and one, we weren't sure that Brad was the best candidate out there, and we found out that to be true. But second is, it's public money that we're dealing with here, and we can't just choose someone because we're going to assign them to be the village administrator. We really had to do our due diligence when we're working with public money. Yes, please, Trustee Raptor.
I was skeptical initially of the methodical and very detailed plan. I'm not normally one who follows a detailed plan. But first of all, I'm very thankful for the work put into this effort, because it was a lot of work on behalf of our search and screen committee, our village president, our village board, our community. An awful lot of work went into it. I'm thankful that we went through that process, because I've known Brad for many years, probably 8-9 years now, and it's his fault I moved to Alloway. He talked about the face of Alloway. I do see him as the face of Alloway. What I was looking for in an administrator was someone with a lot of experience in government, in local government management. I was looking for someone who could lead by example. I was looking for someone who would promote to be the mayor, if you will, of Alloway, to promote Alloway, and to have a vision for the future. Alloway's an older community, as we all know, but I think it's got a very bright future if we focus on the right things going forward. And Brad, in my opinion, had that as well.
For me, in addition to what's already been said, I guess Brad's dedication and hard work is just, we're all aware of that, so his dedication to Alloway and what he has committed, his commitment to Alloway is very evident. So that's one of the final things I've taken into consideration.
There were some discussions amongst the board as well that, you know, one person can't lead a village. And so Brad's going to need the support of this board, he's going to need the support of the staff, and he's going to need the support of residents, and we have full confidence that together we're going to give him the support he needs to successfully lead the village in, into the future. So I don't know if I have anything to add beyond what's already been said. I'm confident in our choice, and I'm hoping that he accepts the position. Further discussion? Trustee Dennis?
I just wanted to say that I have a lot of admiration for the process and for what we've gone through. It, as Jim said, that he would not have wanted to have gone through the process and to sit and to go through. There was a lot of serious discussion. There was a lot of very hard discussion. Nobody was afraid to ask the questions that everybody had on their minds, which I thought was admirable from a board, from the standpoint of being willing to be able to say, well, what about this? You know, what about the, you know, that? And that I found that to be different than what I've experienced in the past and being involved with hiring processes. Having looked at all the different candidates and taking into consideration, sometimes you don't know what you have until you don't know what you don't have, if that makes sense. And the comparison basis, I think, helped tremendously to be able to make that final decision. And like everybody said, I just reiterated, there are strong points, there are weak points, but that's true for all of us. And that's why we have to all work together. The whole thing about it takes a village, but that's it.
Yeah, I do want to go back to what I said before with the search and screen committee. And these people, you think the board worked hard at trying to come up with a final decision. The search and screen committee did all of the legwork of going through all kinds of detail with starting out with 29 people. And I think the process was good. And I think the constellation of the search and screen committee was good. It was inclusive. It involved people who were going to be working with the village administrator. But I was nothing but impressed by their candor and their insight and their dedication to this. I mean, they worked tirelessly. So I'm owing some people some cocktails at the Laurel Arterhouse.
Is that on the agenda?
Go to the resurrection. Yeah. I'll entertain a motion. So if you get a chance and you run into one of the members of the search and screen committee, please thank them. You would not believe the hours that were put into to this process. So good. Yes, Trustee Harris.
I made some notes, and just about anything I wanted to say has already been said.
Okay.
But I want to reiterate about thanking the search and screen committee for their support and time, as well as the village department heads for spending the time. We had volunteers from the community. Just the whole process was intense. That's the best way I can think of describing it. And that, assuming that the negotiations go well, Brad will have full support.
Any further discussion? Who seconded that? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Item 12, action regarding the employment status and wage adjustment for Angie Cepeda. I would like to make a motion that we increase her hourly rate from $21 to $21.50, retroactive to her 6-month anniversary, if you will, which is May 18th, and that she be designated as a regular employee as opposed to probationary. Is there a second? Trustee Dart, second.
Second.
Discussion? Speaking of other stellar employees, she's very good, and please communicate to Angie how impressed the board has been with the way that she's contributed not only to the work of the village, but to the culture and climate of the village.
She was also a very active member of the search and screen committee.
That's right. Anything further? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Is there a motion to adjourn? Trustee Harris, second. Trustee Dart, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We're adjourned.